And the background music of Larry Rezavian and his out-of-town checks with our theme Musicians Come and Play means it's time for another edition of our Musicians Come and Play program, program 392 in that continuing series, as our theme wraps up right there. Yes, Larry Rezavian and his out-of-town checks. All righty, we are coming up on 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, 65 degrees here in central Minnesota. You're listening to your dependable neighbor for all of central Minnesota, KASM Albany, 1150 AM, KDDG Albany, 105.5 HD2, 107.7 on your FM dial, and streaming on the World Wide Web at mychasm.com. 13 minutes before the hour of 12 noon, and again, 65 degrees and sunshine here in central Minnesota. Beautiful morning here in Chasmland. And we have our guest on the line. We're going to bring him in right now and say good morning to Mr. John Dietz. John, how are you doing this morning? Oops, I got to push another button. We'll try that again. Okay, John, there you are. How are you doing this morning, John?
I am great, Cy. Good morning, and good morning to our fellow polka friends in central Minnesota.
And you're sounding great, John. I just put that bug in your ear that whatever you're doing, you're coming across loud and clear, nice and clear. So great. Where are you at this morning, John?
Well, I am in Walcott, Iowa, sitting outside of a little diner called Grandma's Kitchen, next to the Iowa 80 truck stop. We're having breakfast before we head home from the Durant Polka Fest weekend. We played down here Friday and yesterday. So two nice days down here. So so that's what we're doing. We're having breakfast with my good friend Jerry Menar and his son Jay.
Oh, well, say hi to Jerry. Yeah.
I certainly will.
Okay.
And he said to send his regards too. So we're having breakfast with Jerry and Jay and our hosts for the weekend, Penny Alpin and her sister. Very hospitable with us this weekend. We stayed with Penny. Her late husband is the gentleman that always he's been putting this festival on for, I think, 20-some years that he's been doing it.
So okay.
Just enjoyed a great weekend down here. The crowd was great. We had a lot of fun with it. A lot of good music down here, so it was good.
Okay. And it feels good, too, doesn't it, to get things up and going again? We had a year off there, and that was just boring as heck, wasn't it?
Oh, man, it was a tough year. A lot of us didn't know what to do with ourselves and how to keep busy, and we found things to do, you know, either YouTube or Facebook. We did some music, here and there that way, and that was just enough to keep us occupied so we didn't lose our marbles completely.
that's for sure. Where do you make home these days, John?
I'm in Slinger, Wisconsin, which is 30 miles northwest of Milwaukee.
Okay, so you're all the way across the state over on that east side.
We like to say we're on the east coast of Wisconsin.
East coast of Wisconsin. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. And you're pretty much across the state right now where the Polka Fest was at then? You're on our side of the state?
We're just west of Davenport, Iowa.
Oh, okay. Oh, my. Okay.
Yeah. Kind of the northeast corner of Iowa.
Yeah, yeah. So a little ways, a little jaunt to head home again then.
That's about 4.5 hours.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well,
so
somebody called and tipped me off and said that you've got a son that plays the tuba and plays it very well. Is that true? Is that you?
That is very true. He's 17 years old. He's been my drummer for a number of years already. He's phenomenal behind the drum set.
Uh-huh.
And in the last handful of years, he's picked up the tuba and is just a rock star with it. He just does a great job. He sat in with the Good Time Dutchman,
uh-huh.
played here Friday night, and Ralph Stull, the band leader, asked him to sit in with the tuba, and one of the other band members says, well, does he need the book? And Ralph says, he played an entire job without the book and didn't miss a thing. He'll be fine.
Oh, that's great. The listener that talked to me said that Jimmy Dorschner relived again. Jimmy was thought of by so many people as just fantastically great. And it's great to hear. I mean, you probably knew him well, too. He left us way too soon. But
yeah,
I guess that's the good Lord's plan. He makes room for the next ones coming up. And so your son evidently going to be filling those shoes a little bit.
And he studied very well. He listens to what Jimmy played over the years. And he's a big my son's just a huge Ray Dorschner fan. Well, we all are.
Oh, absolutely.
He models his playing after Jimmy and does a phenomenal job. He even got some compliments from Randy Dorschner. We played a gig with my Jolly Brewers band here back in July. It was a 90-minute Music in the Park show, and I was fortunate enough that Randy Dorschner played saxophone with my band, and one other horn man from the Dorschner band was Mike Selecki, with Ray for a number of years. So it was an honor for me to have those guys in the band for an evening, you know,
and that is so great because I'm good friends with Randy. I've talked to him, and of course, like anybody would be, when you lose your dad, your mom, and your brother all within basically a year's time or so, it's going to be a little bit depressing, a little bit down. And so Randy, the last conversation I had with him, he said, "Si, I don't even have the interest to listen to our recordings because it just was all taken away from me." And yeah. Just to hear that you're getting him out of the house and you know, because it's a cold fact, but life is for the living. And Randy's alive, and he's a great musician. And got to keep guys like that going.
Oh, yeah. And another thing I asked Randy about, you know, I've got my Jolly Brewers band, which we play the original Bruno Randall's arrangements. You know?
Yeah.
But we so love Dorschner's music.
Oh, and yes.
I approached Randy about getting some of their arrangements.
Uh-huh.
And Randy has been gracious enough to sell me copies of their arrangements out of the Rainbow Valley Dutchman book.
Oh, my goodness.
And with the song numbers, I mean, it's right photocopied out of their book. And Randy told me, he says, "I don't think my dad would approve, but he's not here to stop me." So he says, "John, I'm just glad that somebody wants to play this stuff." And I'm thrilled that you're, you know, willing to take our arrangements and play them. And we play them as written, you know, and we try to get it to sound like it should.
Yes.
You know, like what we call that Dorschner swing.
yep, exactly. Well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, John. So for those that didn't catch you the last time we had you on the show, let's take you back to the beginning. Where were you born and raised, and a little bit about your youth and growing up and how you got started playing a concertina?
Sure. Born and raised in Montgomery, Minnesota, little town, well, quite a way south of it. It's between Mankato and the Twin Cities, down that way.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up the concertina from my father, who played quite a bit. And other than his informal lessons, I mostly self-taught and, you know, followed my stylings with Carl Hartwick and Brian and those guys, you know.
Sure.
And speaking of Dorschner, you know, Keith Zwack is just the, in my opinion, one of the best dang concertina players that ever walked. And so I try to model my playing after them.
Sure.
So, you know, and I moved to Slinger, Wisconsin here 17 years ago.
Okay.
And it's been good to me. Milwaukee is still very strong in polka. And I'm actually playing usually 2 to 3 nights a week out here in the Milwaukee area.
Uh-huh. Well, that's great. Now, you said you grew up close to Mankato there, so you got to know Ernie Koopman at a young age then, huh?
I did, yep. When I got my very first concertina, I bought it from Cliff Hermel in St. Peter. He had a Radio Shack store, and he had some concertinas and accordions there. And my dad took me there, and I bought my first concertina from Cliff Hermel. And so then when we needed, if it needed work, we would go see Ernie. My dad knew Ernie very well.
Uh-huh.
So we would go see Ernie Koopman. So I got to be really, really close with the Koopman family, you know, in general, in those years.
Sure.
And just great people. Ernie was just a spectacular guy. He told you how it was, whether you wanted to hear it or not.
Well, that's what we need. I mean, yes.
He was a superb craftsman, you know. He could fix and repair anything, you know, and he was a great tuner. He did a lot of tuning on my concertinas,
mm-hmm.
you know, through the years back then. And, and that's how I got to know Ernie and the family. And I was honored to play a couple of selections at his funeral when he passed. And,
okay.
I knew he had the Jolly Brewers Library, and he actually offered it to me first before he passed away, before Cactus acquired it.
Sure.
Ernie offered it to me first, and I foolishly turned him down.
Yeah.
Oh. But here we are 20-some years later. I finally got it. It's, like you say, the Lord has a plan, and
yep.
It all fits.
It was meant to be. And so the Jolly Brewers Library took a little bit of a turn there. It went through Cactus Marvin Stair, and he had it for, what, maybe 6, 8 years, 10 years, something like that?
I think 10 or 12 years, yeah.
Okay.
And he got it in 1998, and I apologize. I forget when Cactus passed away.
Yeah.
But he got it in 98.
I think he did 4 recordings with it, and the style was the same or similar. You know, it was some people say that it's not quite the Jolly Brewers like Ernie was or Bruno Randles, but, you know, everybody's got their opinions. But then... Yeah. Then somehow Dale Damon wound up with it, huh?
Yep, Dale Damon got it after Cactus passed away. I don't remember all the details there, how that happened, and I'm sure if Dale's listening, he'll call me and remind me that I'm a dunce for forgetting.
But. Yep, yep.
and Dale had it for a few years, I think. I don't know how much he played out with it. I think they did a few jobs here and there with the band.
Yep.
And for the most part, the band sat dormant, you know, for the most part, while Dale had it. But he was a good steward of the music. It's all in excellent condition. It's all there. And I acquired it from Dale in January of 2020.
Well, and, you know, I know Dale really well, too. And in conversation with Dale, I asked him about it because Dale actually has several bands. He goes out with the rock band once in a while called The Beats. And then, of course, it's Dale Damon and the Polka Beats. And then he had Dale Damon and the Jolly Brewers. And so I asked him on a couple of different jobs that he was playing, are you going to play any of the Jolly Brewers arrangements? And he said, Si, he said, there's only one way to play the Jolly Brewers Library, and that is if you have the full band. And what is it, an 8-piece band when you have a full band?
Set up for 8-piece, yep.
Set up for 8-piece. And he said, that's the only way I can do it justice, and that's the only way I will book that band, if I can book 8 people. So I respect Dale so much for that, you know, keeping the integrity of the band there.
Right. Exactly, and that's really the only way to do it. My younger son plays saxophone and clarinet with me now.
Okay,
he's 14, and I'll admit we have pulled some charts out of the Brewers book that we play together, just concertina and saxophone, and we've had to rearrange them a little bit, so we're not playing them exactly the way they are, but we've used them for kind of a starting point for some of our other material, and it's worked out quite well. We can give you it's kind of like a sampler of what the Jolly Brewers is supposed to sound like, but it's just a little sample because it's just 2 or 3 of us.
Absolutely.
We have a lot of fun with it, you know. And we've booked, this year I will be doing a total of 3 actual gigs with the Jolly Brewers band. Our last one is coming up here October 30th in Monroe, Wisconsin at the Turner Hall there.
Okay, okay.
And it's actually a free admission dance privately funded. A gentleman just wanted to throw a party, and so he hired the Brewers to come play for it, and we're looking forward to that. It'll be a fun time. So,
and you said in Monroe, Wisconsin. Whereabouts is that proximity?
That is on the southern border, about in the middle of the state, but way on the southern border, down by New Glarus.
Okay, okay.
Down that way.
Very good, because we have listeners that are travelers, and boy, when you get an opportunity to see a band like the Jolly Brewers, they might just hop in their car and head down there. What kind of hours do they have for that gig?
We're playing 1 to 5.
1 to 5.
It's a Saturday.
It's a Saturday, October 30th, you said?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Folks,
so where are your favorite Lederhosen, or, you know, because it's Halloween, the night before Halloween, dress up in your favorite, you know, ghost bedsheet costume and come have fun with us.
There you go. Well, John, if we can ask you to hold that thought for just a moment, we've reached 12 o'clock here in central Minnesota. Time to read the ad for our sponsor, the St. Joe Meat Market. We'll come back to you in just a moment then, if that's all right.
Sounds great.
All righty. So greetings to one and all from the St. Joe Meat Market, the home of fresh meats and award-winning sausage. Bow hunting and the small game hunting season opens up this coming weekend, which means it's a great time to bring in those trimmings that you might still have in your freezer. We can turn your clean and boneless fresh and or frozen domestic or wild game trimmings into any number of delicious jerky, snack stick, and or sausage items, usually complete and ready for pickup for your freezer within a week's time. With all the tomatoes now ripening this time of the year, it's BLT time. Have you had a chance to try some bacon from the St. Joe Meat Market lately? It is really good, and now there are many flavors to choose from. Besides our regular smoked bacon, there are packages of flavored bacon, sliced and vacuum packaged, all ready to grab and go. There is extra maple, raspberry chipotle, peppered, jalapeno, applewood, cherrywood, cottage bacon, and turkey bacon. Also now, ground bacon as well. You will want to try them all. Many other in-store specials await you when you come to the St. Joe Meat Market, so like us on Facebook, look for us on the web, www.stjoesofmeatmarket.com, or call 320-363-4913 for more information. That's the St. Joe Meat Market, and thank you for your patronage. John, for being our guest on the show, and you've been here before, you know how it works. We'll get that meat package put up and get that off in the mail to you. Hope that you and the family around you enjoy it in good health. How'd that work out for you last time?
It's great. It's a great package you send out. It makes me want to do the radio show twice a month.
Sounds good. I've heard that from more folks there. So that's good to hear. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So obviously you're married and a family there. You mentioned two boys, one Zach, and who is the second one?
Oh, his name is Xavier.
Okay.
It's like Xavier, except spelled wrong.
Okay. And any more, or is it just the two boys?
Just the two boys.
Yeah,
to make it easy, Xavier, his nickname is Hoolerite Jake.
Okay.
That's not his name, but that's what we call him. He was given that nickname several years ago by a sax and clarinet player in our area that we would travel down to play with Barefoot Becky.
Okay.
And he couldn't ever remember Xavier's name, and so he just started calling him Hoolerite Jake.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. And, boy, that is really nice when you can involve the family in the business like that. It just makes things so good. And people, I think the patrons really enjoy seeing the youth, don't they? Is that the way you take it?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they do. Yep. Everybody enjoys seeing the kids and, you know, younger generation interested in the music. It gives us hope that it's really not dying.
Yep.
You know, polka's changing. It's changing. It's not dying, but it's changing, and we're changing with it to just try to keep up with the times and keep it popular. I play at a place in Milwaukee twice a month. It's a German beer hall, and the place is full of college students.
Uh-huh.
This time of year. And I played there Thursday night, and there was 10 college kids came in, and I asked, well, what brings you in? And one says, well, first of all, half price liters of beer and the live music.
Uh-huh.
They did say they really missed hearing live music, and they like the polka music.
Yeah, absolutely.
Adds to their enjoyment of the evening, and they stay all night till the band quits and then call it a day, you know. But it's great to see that.
Oh, it is. You know, and I'll acknowledge or give credit to several other band leaders that are doing similar things. I mean, Dale Damon, he had his boys playing with him. Adam Sandhurst is involving his son and daughter in the band. I know Brian Briggan, Gary Briggan, they've been bringing theirs along and have several. So I think that's a really key thing nowadays. If you can get them interested, get them started, there's hope for the future. Chuck Thiel, he's got his son Jason, part of the band. So there's a number of them that are doing that. I think it's really great that they do that.
Yes. Yes, it is.
You bet. So, you're sort of self-taught, you said, on concertina, but boy, you sure developed into one great player. I just love your CD. What's the secret? How did you do it? How did you get to be where you are? Practice, 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 or?
Yep. And then when you're sick of practicing, practice some more.
Okay. that sounds good. And how did you get that passion for playing the polka music? I mean, you've got to have that.
You've got to have it. I don't know. It's just, I think I was born with it.
Okay.
Same thing with my two boys. They just took to it, and it's their passion. It's their drive. That's what they do. You know, my son Zach sits around in between going to school, and when he gets bored, the first thing he does is pick up a concertina and start practicing.
Now, you just got to ask, you got to be a little bit the devil's advocate. So have the boys ever picked up the concertina, or do they feel intimidated when trying to play it when you're around?
They haven't felt intimidated, no.
No?
I'm very encouraging. I always have a concertina that's just sort of sitting there.
Okay.
I always have one that I never put away just in case you want to pick it up and play it. And it, admittedly, it did start out where Zach would only tinker with it when I wasn't home.
Okay, yeah.
Because he didn't want me to hear all his mistakes.
Yep.
And now he's a little more open with it. He'll play, although what's funny enough, here about a month ago, I got home from work, and I could hear concertina music, so my son was in the house practicing. And I walked through the door, and he made a great big mistake, you know, in the middle of the song. And he looks at me, and he says, "Why did you come home so early? It was going so well."
Oh, that's funny. That's really the way it is, though. I mean, I can still remember my dad was a great drummer. And when he would come to a dance or whatever, I was so happy to see him. But yet, you know, you always felt that little bit of pressure, like, boy, I really don't want to screw up now. You know, I want to be at my best.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And, I mean, they do feel the pressure, and I push them both very hard.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I pretty demanding, I guess. They would say I'm really demanding. You know, I'm always drilling them on their practice time and, you know, practicing with a metronome and things like that.
Sure.
Just help build a good foundation for future learning.
Yeah.
You know, and the funny part is they practice more than I do, and I probably need to practice the most out of all of us.
Uh-huh. Now, John, did you ever pick up any other instruments, or has it been concertina only?
No, I play the tuba.
Oh, you do?
Yep. I played the tuba through high school, and I was auditioned into the Minnesota All-State Band when I was in high school 2 years in a row. And then I just continued to play after that. I don't do a lot of classical or concert type stuff anymore. It's all polka now.
Okay.
But I played with the Good Time Dutchman for several years, full time when we first moved to Wisconsin.
Okay.
So that was a good time. I think I played for them for 5 years steady.
Uh-huh.
And then I've also played with Gary Brigham, and we do quite a bit with Barefoot Becky.
Okay.
Matter of fact, Friday night, my son and I played for Becky down here in Durant. And then the times that the Polka Festival, you're on and off with another band. Well, there's two stages, so there's four bands playing at the same time, you know.
Okay.
Back and forth. So Zach and I played with Becky on one stage outside, and then in the off times when the other band was playing, my band played inside. So we didn't get a whole lot of breaks Friday night.
Either. Sure.
Did a lot of back and forth. But had a lot of fun with it. So.
Well, that's awesome. That's incredible. Great. And I think I asked you this the last time, just mention some of the great concertina players that have influenced you, you've listened to over time. I know you've rubbed elbows many times with Ernie, of course, but some of the other ones that you really value.
Well, actually, Dale Damon was one of the first guys that I would go. My dad would take me to go see them when they were playing a little closer to, I think it was Waconia or somewhere down there. They were used to play a VFW or things like that back then. So I would go see Dale, Carl, of course, Brian and Gary, Jerry Menar has been a huge influence for me over the years. You know, and our local big name was Larry Novotny.
Oh, yes.
I know him very, very well.
Yep.
And picked up a lot from those guys. And, you know, it's been a good journey so far, and a lot of nice people along the way. All of those guys are just tremendous players and great professionals. And I'm very fortunate to, you know, to know those guys and be friends with them.
Absolutely. How about some of the older guys that are no longer with us? Elmer Scheid, Jerry Schuft, any of those guys?
Yes, definitely. Jerry Schuft, he's one of my, he's just a funny guy. We miss him all the time. All the funny stuff he would say, he could keep you laughing all afternoon. You know, just a great guy. So, yeah, definitely guys like Jerry Schuft. And, well, another one, Donnie Klosner.
Yeah.
He's down in the New Ulm area. He played with the Wagner Band for a long time.
And still going.
and still going. So there's been a lot of good influence over the years.
You bet. And boy, there are so many other good ones out there that you continue to hear about. So, yeah, it's really neat. And like you said, it's changing. It's not dying. It's changing. That's the way we see it, too.
Right. And you just keep that outlook and stay positive. You know, I hear too many people that get too negative about, you know, they complain polka music's dying. Oh, my Lord, it's coming to an end. Well, that's part of the problem.
You bet. You know? That's right.
Know, you're not really helping the situation with that attitude.
No.
Sometimes we need to take a step back and reflect on what we are doing and how it's and why it's working.
Well, and I have a recommendation. If any of them think that it's not exciting or interesting anymore, they need to buy a John Dietz CD of the Twin City Trio, because I couldn't get enough of that when I got that CD. That one is so entertaining to listen to. You really hit a home run with that one, John.
Thank you, Si. We spent the better part of a year making that CD with my brother Mitch.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of trips to Minnesota. He lived in Shakopee at the time.
Okay.
So we did most of the recording there and just had a blast with it. And we're actually, we're in talks about more recording coming up, whether it be Twin Lakes Trio recording or a Jolly Brewers recording.
Yeah.
Which did come up in conversation and talking to Jerry Menar here at breakfast.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah.
Because, my favorite sounding albums are the ones that came out of JBM Studio.
Yes, yeah. Jerry did a great job all these years, and he's still a great musician and promoter.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and he builds a darn good concertina, too. I mean, we enjoy the concertinas he builds. I've got two of his.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I play the living daylights out of them, and I have yet to wreck one. So, but you know, if I do need something, I call Jerry, and he's more than gracious. You know, he helps me with whatever I need, and takes really good care of me. So, I've known Jerry literally my whole life. So his son Jay and I are the same age. We're two days apart. We were born 2 days apart.
Okay.
And so we've got a long history.
Sure.
But yeah, I did ask Jerry about his studio, and he says, "Well, you know, John, I still have all my stuff."
I can hear him say that. Yep. How about
Chris? You never know. You just never know.
How about Christy Hengel? Did you ever get to check Christy out over at his place over the years?
I did. Yep. I was fortunate enough when I was younger, I got to play one of his concertinas sitting on the toilet, which is what you did.
Yep.
At Christy's house, you played in the bathroom.
Yep.
Mostly because that was the only spot to sit.
Yeah. Yeah. Folks that were never there, they don't know what we're talking about. But I was there a number of times. I got to play Elmer Scheid's concertina, and I got to play Ernie's concertina when Christy had them both sitting there. And sitting on the stool, yep, Christy said, "That's just a natural place to sit." So
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
And there was nowhere else to sit because his house was such a clutter of concertinas and tools and parts and pieces. There
cases and
any
parts,
flat,
music.
Any flat surface became a table.
Exactly. Yeah, those are memories. I mean, it's a few years ago. Christy's been gone now for a while, but boy, I value those days that I was down there with him and just really enjoyed it. So,
yeah,
you
a lot
bet.
Of fun.
You bet. So what concertinas do you have these days? You mentioned two of Jerry's Hengels. What else have you got?
Well, I've got a Brown concertina. Those were built by Bill Brown down in New Ulm.
Mm-hmm.
I got that one from Cliff Hermel as well back when I was in high school. I traded my first one for this one, and I've had it ever since. I have since retired it from professional use because the poor thing has certainly had a difficult life with me. I'm known to be a little demanding of my instruments.
Yep.
So it's had a hard life the last 20-some years, so we just use it around the house for practice or tinkering with, you know.
Sure. What key is that one?
That one, oddly enough, it started out as a B-flat, and so it's kind of story time. When I had my first Hengel built by Jerry, it's zebra wood and rosewood, so it's one of the three wood-finished concertinas that he built. But mine is the only one that we use zebra wood.
Okay.
And a big part of that was zebra wood is really tough to work with. It's a hard wood. hard to cut, you know, hard to get it to be stable with weather and the humidity changes. So that's why they only built one.
Okay.
But when I ordered it, I wanted it in a key of B natural.
Okay.
Which is really, you know, out there as far as a key would go. And Jerry built it, and it was great. Plays awesome, sounded awesome. But I couldn't find anybody that could play along with it because it puts you in some really challenging keys
for, oh, sure,
you know, horns or for tuba. So over the years, we wound up making that into a C concertina, and those B natural reeds are now in my old Brown.
Okay.
So
very good.
Yeah. So that's how that wound up. And then my other one, I've got a B flat Hengel that I got from Jerry. We lovingly refer to it by its serial number. It's number 32.
Okay.
And arguably, you know, one of, if not the best concertinas that come out of Jerry Menard's shop.
Okay.
It's top notch. It's right up there. Sort of set the standard for the ones he's building since then, you know.
Sure.
So I've got those. I have my dad's 1939 Paddock C box that Dad played for many years. Have that one, and that's pretty much it. That's enough concertina.
That is. You know, and I've asked Carl Hartwig when I've had him on the program how many concertinas he's got, and he said, only one. He said, I can get in enough trouble with one. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's fun. Well, John, we just about run out of time here, and I usually ask each and every person a memorable moment, memory or something that stands out in their mind. What have you got for us today?
Well, there's been so many, you know, and something memorable for me is this weekend is going to be one of our good memories. This is likely the last Durant Polka Fest since the gentleman organizing it passed away in 2020, unfortunately.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He had everything organized, everything set up, so his widow carried it out, and unless somebody else wants to pick up the reins and run with it, it's likely the last one.
Okay.
So we're fortunate enough to have you know, been able to spend 2 days down here playing this festival, and you know, having the Menards came down, so we had Jay played piano with us, and we had some other musicians like Mike Solecki stopped in, and because he's originally from this area, so we had. We actually wound up with a horn band, you know, a Twin Lakes trio, but there was six of us on stage yesterday, and just had a great time with it. We pulled out some Jolly Brewers charts and played them just for the heck of it, you know.
Sure.
And so this weekend will stand out as a pretty good time.
Absolutely.
You know, some of the stage shenanigans you get into. I was playing a song on concertina, and Jay wasn't really sure what the chord progression was on the piano, so I watched him and Mike Solecki switch off on the piano halfway through the song.
And that's entertaining for the patrons. They just enjoy that when people are squirming. So
yeah,
I get it, yeah.
Well, you know, so it's just good fun.
You bet. Well, John, we could go on all day today because I know the listeners are thoroughly entertained. I certainly am. Look forward to shaking your hand someday. We'll get to meet you in person. Yeah. But, you know, the good Lord willing, you and I are both here. We'll do this thing again down the road sometime. How's that?
I look forward to it.
All righty. You have a great afternoon, John. I'll talk to you off the air in just a moment. All righty?
Thanks.
All right. You bet. And there he goes, Mr. John Dietz, our 392nd guest here on a Musicians Come and Play program here on KASM. We're coming up on 22 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon, 67, our current temperature here in Albany. Don't go away. We've got music coming up by John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. Thank you. Larry Razavi and his out-of-town checks with our theme wrapping up right there. Musicians Come and Play, wrapping up our 392nd edition of our Musicians Come and Play program. We're coming up on 23 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. 67 our current temperature here in Albany. John Dietz, just a great guest, and you're going to like his music, you bet. The Twin Lakes Trio are going to start out with a nice old-time polka, one called the Ellen Polka. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. Great arrangement there of the Ellen Polka. Boy, that is really good. And accompanying John on the recording, of course, John on concertina, doing some tuba work and the bass guitar work. Also, his son Zach Dietz on the drums. His brother Mitch Dietz was the engineer, playing some piano, trumpet, and trombone. And Greg Labs, tuba on some of the numbers as well. So, yeah, great recording there. And if you don't have one of these, it's called John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, Back to Boxing Around, and a picture of six concertinas on the cover. Really, really catchy CD. It's Landler time. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, one called the Circling Pigeon Landler, polka style. Thank you. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. Yes, the Circling Pigeons Landler done polka style. And boy, you just can't get enough of it. You don't want the song to end when you're listening to John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio play. Good stuff for sure. Well, we're in the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet, and that's always brought to us by Jeannie B's Tours. And Jeannie inviting you to join the Fall Fest in Door County, a fall color spectacular getaway. And it's the time is coming up quick. Enjoy the beauty of Door County, Wisconsin, September 27th, that's this month, through the 1st of October. Experience 5 days filled with nature's colors, corn stalks, pumpkins, orchards, specialty shops, and so much more. This tour includes 4 nights lodging, guide, transportation, 7 meals, guided trolley tour, step on a guided tour of Washington Island, the musical show, orchard tour, wine tasting, Radisson, Oneida, casino, lodging, night one with casino perks in Green Bay, Wisconsin. There'll be treats, prizes, all admissions on the itinerary. Call Jeannie B's Tours, 320-345-1581 for reservations. And, oh my goodness, the deadline was August 15th. The cost is $839, and that's based on double occupancy. And, yeah, see the Cape Cod of the Midwest with Jeannie B's Tours this fall. So if Jeannie's got an opening, give her a call, and you might just get in on that one. Then, if you're thinking about a cruise, Jeannie B's Tours has the perfect fall getaway planned for you. You can join Jeannie B as she floats 100 miles down the mighty Mississippi River. And this is going to be October 3rd through the 7th for the Cruising Down the Mississippi and Galena, Illinois' Travel to the Quad Cities, Day 1. Lodging at the Isle of Capri Casino, Day 2, board the Celebration paddle boat and enjoy the magnificent colors of the one-day 100 a mile river cruise. After lodging downriver, the tour travels day 3 to historic scenic Galena, Illinois. A step-on guide will spend the day sharing the highlights of one of the top 10 motor coach destinations in all of the Midwest. Day number 4 will include sights of the Dubuque, Iowa area in casino lodging. 8 meals included, prizes and treats on the coach. Cost is $789 based on double occupancy. Call Jeannie B's Tours to reserve your spot for Cruising the River reservations. Again, that's 320-345-1581. And, of course, we'll be talking about the Branson October Colors of the Ozarks, and that comes up October 2nd through 22nd through the 29th, 8 days, 7 nights. Also, Eureka Springs and the Passion Play included in this trip. So for more details, give Jeannie B's Tours a call. Again, her phone number, 320-345-1581. Jeannie B's Tours, you bet, bringing us the first portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. More music on the way with John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. It's waltz time, one called the Ach Taylor Waltz. Thank you. Great waltz tune there, a German-style tune, one called the Ach Taylor Waltz. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. It's polka time. Here's a great polka tune, one called the Don't Kid Me Polka. Great polka tune there for you, one called the Don't Kid Me Polka, John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. It's Landler time, one called the Miller Landler. Thank you. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, one called the Miller Landlord. We're now at 18 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. Temperature reading of 67 degrees and sunshine here in central Minnesota. And the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. And that is brought to us by Kevin's Countryside, home of the Hustler brand zero-turn lawnmowers. Yes, the original zero-turn lawnmower, the Hustler, helps eliminate the extra trimming and mowing of your lawn. And maybe you're dreading, old Bessie's getting a little tired. Maybe you're dreading that thought of going out and buying a new lawnmower. Don't dread it. It's a joy. You bet. Kevin has got great lawnmowers for you out there. New models on hand. Check them out. Check them out this week. Kevin's Countryside. Nice drive this time of the year. The colors of the leaves are turning. It's just beautiful. He's out there 6 miles northwest of St. Joe on County Road 3. Look for the big yellow and orange sign hanging from the post there in the ditch. Nice big yard to try him out. You bet. You won't be sorry you did. Great lawnmower. They're industrial built, Caterpillar yellow, so strong mowers. They come with baggers and other attachments if you're looking for that. Starts out with the little Raptors all the way down to that little Raptor size for in-town or small lots to mow. And if you mow like myself, big acreage, well, he's got those Super Zs and beyond. Nice big lawnmowers. And I think I've got a 60-inch deck, but I think they come with 72s. And there's all sorts of sizes in between. Of course, Kevin does repair work on all makes and models, so check that out as well. He can change your belts and hoses, lubricants. He can sharpen your blades. So, yeah, Kevin can do it all. And, of course, he does trades. So if you want to bring your lawnmower in, bring old Bessie in. He'll make you a sweet deal on one of those brand-new Hustlers. Of course, Kevin doesn't keep a junk pile, so he'll refurbish old Bessie, put her out for sale. Folks looking for something used, they can always find that at Kevin's as well. Kevin's Countryside. And also, I should mention, too, Kevin did take on that Eagle brand line of equipment, that 56-volt battery-powered equipment. And, boy, that is really nice. My son borrowed mine the other day, used that edger to bury some wireless fencing for the dogs. And he said it worked just like a dream. So, yeah, check that equipment out at Kevin's as well. For more information, give Kevin a call. His phone number, 320-363-7459. That's Kevin's Countryside, bringing us the final portion of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM. More music by John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. Another old-time polka standard, one called the Barbara Polka. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, one called the Barbara Polka. He does one here, one called Berg Vagabunden. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio.
In unseren Herzen brennt eine Sehnsucht, die lässt uns nimmer mehr in Ruhe. Ja, 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 herrliche Berge, sonnige Höhen, wir Vagabunden sind wir, ja, wir. Herrliche Berge, sonnige Höhen, wir Vagabunden sind wir. Blühen vorbei geht's mit sicherer Hand. Ja, 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 herrliche Berge, sonnige Höhen, wir Vagabunden sind wir, ja, wir. Herrliche Berge, sonnige Höhen, wir Vagabunden sind wir.
John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. Yeah, how about that one, huh? Berg Vagabunden. Yeah, snappy tune. Great music there by John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. It's waltz time, the Snowflake Waltz.
We'll be right back.
Beautiful waltz tune there by John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, the Snowflake Waltz. 19 great selections on this CD, and boy, it's a good one. You bet. You'll want to make it yours, add it to your collection. Right now, polka time, one called the Bartender Polka, John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, yes, a great rendition there of the Bartender Polka. Time to wrap up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet. We're at 4 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock, 68, our current temperature here in Albany. It's a standard, a old Babe Wagner tune, one called the Midnight Waltz. John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio. The Midnight Waltz, John Dietz and the Twin Lakes Trio, wrapping up another edition of our musical treat for Dancing Feet here on KASM.